It's about 3:15 on August 3rd. I'm here at the base of campus, half in the shade, and I'm talking with
Natalie Ng.
And Natalie, you have a shirt on that says "Spread the Strike, Resist the UC," and that has an angry cat on the shirt. What's this about?
So this is the logo for the UCSC Wildcat Strike, which began in earnest, I guess, November of last year. And the first phase of that was withholding grades, withholding grad grading labor from the university. And then the second phase was escalating to a full picket because the university tried to punish some students for withholding grades by disciplining them under the Student Code of Conduct.
What kind of discipline was that, and is it still in effect?
Well, it's kind of complicated. So first they went after, I think, like maybe 10 students with student discipline. Then they fired everyone who withheld grades. And then they disciplined the rest of the students who withheld grades. And they extended discipline to people for direct actions, including many undocumented students.
What kind of discipline did that involve? Was it pretty much the same in each of those groups?
It was not the same, and I think that's been the most shocking thing. One of my friends, a grad student, is suspended for 2 years for doing the same things that we were all doing, and it definitely seems to be racially motivated.
He's an African-American or a member of another race of some kind or racial type?
He is Latino. Yeah.
And suspensions only went to a few students, and they're the ones that you're moving, as I understand it, to remove and eliminate the disciplinary consequences of everything that was imposed, right?
Yeah, right now today we're focusing on the reinstatement of the 41 grads who were fired, including myself. But our greater demands are to remove and rescind all student discipline, to not lay off any workers, including lecturers who are especially at risk right now, and to have cops and ICE off of campus.
What impact has this layoff had on you personally and on those you know?
I mean, personally, it would mean the end to my hopes of getting a PhD and into my program if I have to foot the bill for tuition. I just couldn't afford to be here, and it also means the end to my role as an educator here, which is something I really cherish. Even throughout the strike, I was meeting with students on a regular basis. I was holding my sections at the picket line. We were standing off the police together that they sicked on us, even though they said they cared about undergraduate students, and that's why they were doing this. Undergraduate students were with us on the front lines, and they're with us today. And we were meeting to talk about not only the readings we were doing in class, not only the kinds of things that you typically talk about with undergraduate students, but what kind of university we wanted to build, how those readings related to the social movements that were happening, and how their personal struggles related to the readings. So it was a really beautiful time, I think, for everyone involved. Many of my undergraduates said they had never learned more than they did on the picket line. And I think the idea that we had abandoned our job duties during that time is really ludicrous.
Today, when I came up, I spoke to one of your colleagues, and she told me that there's a group of you that have already gone and initially to the police department, and then, I think as you mentioned to me, to a faculty home. What's the focus on that particular who and why, I should say?
So first, grad students marched to the UC Police Department to demand police off of our campus. I believe that a police campus is never going to be safe, especially for students of color. And the second location that they've marched to is Lori Kletzer's house. Lori Kletzer is our executive vice chancellor. She is the person who has been the most dogged about punishing us in every way imaginable. And she's the person who has the power to reinstate us. From what we understand, UCOP, which is the UC Office of the President, already approved our reinstatement. Labor Relations already approved our reinstatement. And our Chancellor and EVC, Cynthia LaReeve and Lori Kletzer, have refused to allow us to be reinstated. And it seems deeply personal and deeply petty.
Why would you, as someone who's been on the front lines, or at least near them, if not on them, sounds like you're probably on them, what do you fathom is her problem with this issue? Is it simply personal hostility to some individual students? Is it, what is it?
I mean, I think you'd have to ask her. I could only speculate. But, you know, I think from the very beginning, we took a very assertive stance against the administration, and it wasn't personal. It wasn't because of who Lori Kletzer is. It's because of the position that she holds and the way that resources have been distributed in the university. So we have a chancellor who's making over $300,000 a year when grad students are making about $20,000-$25,000 a year. That's before taxes. And in addition, our chancellor gets a housing stipend that, from what I remember, you'll have to double check on this, but I think it's $7,600 every single month to rent a mansion in Santa Cruz. So I think it was more about the position that they occupied, and they may have taken that as a personal attack, when it really was about power.
Now, I had spoken with some COLA for All folks a couple months ago, and I was told that because of the COVID-19 shelter-in-place stuff, it had kind of shut things down, or sort of, stopped in-person protests, pretty much. On the other hand, with Black Lives Matter movement and the rise after George Floyd's murder, that seems to be no longer the primary issue for people who want to see change. Mm-hmm. What impact has that had on campus and on your protest movement?
I mean, I feel like a lot of us have really shifted our energy. We still want to be able to live here. We still want a COLA, and we still want to be reinstated. But I think a lot of us also have commitments to many different movements, including movements against police terror. So many of us have been, you know, engaged in other kinds of actions. I mean, it's been hard to do much at campus because campus is pretty much closed down, even though they still are renting out dorms to people and charging them way too much money to live there. But for the most part, campus is kind of at a standstill, although for some reason the police are still here circling around every single day, even though no one's here. I think there's just so many things happening right now that I think we're all trying to move in many different directions, and they're all important.
Black Lives Matter and the movement to defund police and the movement against police violence been supportive of students up here at all? Have you noticed more force for, let's say, this protest, more participation?
I mean, you know, Black Lives Matters is like a pretty dispersed network that I don't think is really recognized by one group of people. You know, we've been saying cops off campus, COLA in our bank account from the very beginning, and I think that racial justice has been a huge part of our movement. So I would say, there's a lot of pressing issues right now. I wouldn't say that we've had more support than we had in the past. I think, you know, it's just we've been building. Maybe I'll put it this way. We've been building community with people doing racial justice action outside of campus, and some of those people have also showed up to help us for things that are happening on campus.
The reason I ask is a couple days ago we're trying to stop the bench land's removal of the homeless community that's been there for 4 months and now is going to be, well, it's being caged and contained and reduced, mm-hmm. although it's not quite clear how much it's been reduced, on the bench lands with what some are calling a FEMA camp or a containment camp, whereas others are saying, well, there's some good facility, actually positive facility, but there's also a lot of problems with it. It's not being run by the people who live there. There are all kinds of other difficulties. But these folks who are opposing this, who are community activists who are concerned with mostly the rights of the people who are being evicted from the broader campground, who are being told to leave the bench lines, but given nowhere to go, really, in spite of claims that there are options at the Armory, options at the Veterans Hall. But these are options that are group COVID, I don't want to say infested shelters, because we don't know that's true, but they don't test you in these places unless you're actually sick. Mm-hmm. And that, or, you know, maybe you have a fever or something. So I ran into a couple of students down there who were trying to monitor what was going on. I think they were from UC. And I was just wondering if you've also noticed increased participation by people, and I've seen students in the Black Lives Matter movement. I think they're from UC. I mean, some of them are high school students, a lot of variety of different people. But it looks like there's generally more participation happening in the last 3 months than in the last 30 years, actually, that I've seen, right, in terms of direct action. Mm-hmm. What's your take on this? Is that likely to have an impact on what you're doing here and what you're trying to get?
I mean, I think that, you know, the picket line was about Ecola, but it was also about much more, and we're seeing the effects of that now. I think it was about building really robust relationships. It was about connecting organizers who were really passionate and dedicated, and it was about sort of creating a space for what now I think has had ripple effects throughout the Bay Area. So yeah, I do think, you know, that what happened at UCSC, I mean, it seems like a long time ago, but it was just a few months ago, has created these kinds of relationships and networks that allow people to mobilize against, you know, the closure of the benchlands, like against police brutality in Santa Cruz and beyond. Yeah, the same students who were facing off police at the picket line are facing off police in Oakland, where Santa Cruz police are being sent. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, my thought is that there actually has been more direct action, not so much because of the COLA for All picket line, which I was a supporter of, and I think a lot of us were, but it seemed to just sort of, you know, it melted away with the COVID-19 crisis because other people had other priorities. But in spite of those other priorities, with the killing of George Floyd, people were suddenly back in large numbers, which they've never been before. I'm thinking here in Santa Cruz, not simply in major cities. Mm-hmm. And we saw that again. I didn't see it. I wasn't present. But on Friday night, when for the third time, numbers of people took down the fences at the post office used to stop homeless people from being there and took them to the police station and then generously donated some toilet paper to the police department's trees. So my thought is, if it's had that kind of an impact on campus, has it had much impact on you, this resurgence of outrage about how police departments are operating throughout the country, let's say with specifically the UC police here? Remember,
sorry.
I don't know is also an acceptable answer. This is not a quiz, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just the way you framed the question. I'm still trying to process.
So, for instance, has there been any protests against any kind of police actions on campus? But you're saying nobody's on campus but the police, or very few people are here, right?
Right. I mean, I think that most of us would advocate for the funding for ECOLA, for undocumented student services, for the Black Student Union, whose demands are still not met. That funding can come from the police, which we believe are not necessary here and actually create a really unsafe learning environment. And we think that the funding for homes and care for unhoused people can come from Santa Cruz PD, who again spend most of their time harassing unhoused people, not actually keeping people safe.
I guess, you know, my question though really again is, we all, I think you and I and probably others share those principles and those beliefs. Have they effectuated in action on campus? As that, I mean, I'm up here today to look at what you're doing here on campus, or at least to get an account of it, which I appreciate you giving me. Mm-hmm. Has that had any impact on your movement here on campus?
Okay, I think I see what you're saying. So you're asking if, like...
Have things gotten hotter as a consequence of the Floyd murder?
Organized? Yeah, I guess what I was trying to explain is that I think that it has... We've realized that our struggles on campus are intertwined with struggles across the country and really across the world against police brutality. You know, I saw my friends being concussed by police for just sitting in the street.
But are many people from the city joining you in your struggle to deal with one of your issues being the UC police?
Yes. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's my issue. Has it increased, do you think, as a consequence of this upsurge in awareness, consciousness, solidarity, anger about the killing of not just, you know, one man, but many people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, like, as I've tried to explain, we've sort of created new kinds of relationships between people who live in the city of Santa Cruz but aren't students, and people who are students and a lot of their life is focused on UCSC. And I think we share a lot of the same goals, which is not only cops off campus, but cops off of everywhere. And so there's no...
Have you seen more people up here as a consequence joining your movement in the last month or two?
I mean, just we haven't... This is the first time we've been up here in a long time.
I see you have some tents over there.
Yeah.
Now, is that a challenge to both the UC and the city police to get rid of you unlawful campers?
I mean, the tents are here to provide for better social distancing, but also to represent the kind of housing precarity that so many of us faced before and now face even more severely now that we have been fired in the middle of a pandemic.
Now, are the tents symbolic, or are they tents that are likely to be used for people sleeping overnight and in solidarity with the message that you're presenting today?
I think that is something you'll just have to wait and see.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that it was there was part of the flyer was, you know, bring your tents. And so you're inviting people to come on up and bring their tents.
Right.
So this protest was scheduled for today from 1 to 5 or so, something like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe
if there's
5:30,
like,
I'm not sure.
End date.
Yeah, and that's what I saw on Santa Cruz Indie Media. Likely to continue tomorrow or the next day? Should people be so advised? Or?
Well, we'll see what happens. So tomorrow is the start of mediation for the 41 fired grads. So basically there will be a mediator who oversees our case, the case presented by our union, UAW 2865, and the university's case, and then makes a recommendation moving forward about whether or not we will be reinstated. So that is why we're out here today. We're out here to fight for the 41 grads who were fired, including myself, including many students of color, including many disabled students, many student parents. And if we have to stay here, well...
We've got a couple tents in case you need them.
Exactly.
Now, is this mediation, it isn't really an arbitration, it's a recommendation, right?
So it is a mediation that will eventually lead to an arbitration. from what I understand, that is supposed to happen at the end of August. But I think, and, you know, again, I'm not speaking for the union, but from what I understand, this is sort of our last chance to exert political pressure outside of, you know, the sort of narrow channels that the union offers.
What kind of an outcome would you hope for, ideally, from this meeting tomorrow?
I mean, I'd hope to get my job back, you know? And I'd hope for my friends to get their jobs back, and I'd hope that people who were disciplined, that discipline would be rescinded.
And those disciplines include what? I mean, we never quite got to that.
It's different for different people.
An example would be?
I mean, so for instance, undocumented students allegedly were taking up space in the Academic Resource Center because they were asking for more space. They were counseling other undocumented students and had nowhere to do that privately. So they allegedly took space in an office for a day.
They dared to take space in an office?
Allegedly. And those students were banned from that building. They were banned from student housing, which was one of their demands as well, that they have guaranteed access to student housing, because for undocumented students, it's much harder to rent an apartment.
How many people did this impact?
I don't have the exact number. I believe it's somewhere between 5 and 10. And another grad student, as I said, has been suspended for 2 years for being in the street.
How many people in general are affected by these various disciplinary actions?
I'm sorry, I don't have the exact numbers.
It approximate, you know, estimate.
I think initially it was maybe about 60 to 80 of us. And our union basically negotiated with the university to have discipline for withholding grades converted to a letter of warning on our employment files. So that took care of that kind of discipline. So now there are maybe 20 people, mostly students of color, who are still dealing with the student discipline process.
And all charges, I understand, by the DA have been dropped.
No.
Wow. Tell me more. I'm sorry. What's the story?
I mean, it's basically a slow and nightmarish process with no accountability. You probably haven't heard of this. So there's a team called the Demonstration Operations Team at UCSC. The only thing you can find about them is a page that says emergency preparedness. You can't find who works for them. You can't find any other information about them, but we have done a little sleuthing and found that the main person who has been following students and documenting their alleged behavior is a former police officer. And she, in her reports, made many references to students of color appearing threatening, appearing intimidating. And a lot of this does seem to be racially motivated, an assumption that very normal behavior is menacing because these are people of color. So,
a former Santa Cruz police officer?
Yes.
Do we know her name?
Yes.
You want to say her name?
Sure. Her name is Amanda Gillings, and she worked for Santa Cruz PD. So she's part of a team that basically their jobs, from what I can understand, are to report on student activism so that students can be punished later. They don't stop us in the moment. They don't, you know, unless it's actually hindering the operation of campus, they don't shut it down in the moment. They observe, they follow, they take notes. A lot of them are racially biased, and then they use that to discipline students.
They blacklist you later.
Yeah.
So, just so that you were saying, the DA's charges haven't been dropped, by the which I mean formal criminal charges. I think a few were leveled, and then I thought they'd been dropped, but they haven't been.
Oh, okay, sorry. You're talking about criminal charges. No one, from what I understand, no one has been charged.
At one point, they were arrested and were going to be charged, and maybe that would just never carried through.
I mean, I'm not actually sure what you're referring to, because I know people were arrested and let go.
First or second day of the protests, maybe
right.
The third day.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that charges were never brought. They were arrested and let go.
Well, you would know more than I.
Yeah. So I don't think the criminal charges were ever brought, and I think it's because they don't have any criminal activity to bring charges for. So they're going after us in any way that they can, including the student discipline code, which doesn't follow the same kinds of legal proceedings. It doesn't have the same kinds of strictures. It's basically a kangaroo court that they can use to attack political dissidents. Not that our actual legal system doesn't do very similar things, but there's a lot less oversight in the university.
So you want to get your job back, you want the charges against your colleagues to be, or the whole punishment process to be dropped, you want, are you asking for this SCPD investigator to be fired?
The SCPD investigator?
Well, the former SCPD officer you mentioned. Is there some request, or that simply the position itself be abolished, that this kind of surveillance be discontinued? And I guess you're saying more than that, if I understand you correctly. You're saying that all police activity by an independent police agency on the campus be abandoned. I mean, half the campus is already within the jurisdiction of the much-beloved Santa Cruz police, so mm-hmm. I don't know if you want them either, but that's another issue.
We want all cops and ICE off of campus, including Amanda Gillings, who is part of the demonstration operations team.
Who will protect your rights?
I don't believe my rights have been threatened by students, by professors on this campus. I believe that our rights to peacefully organize, our rights to free speech have been threatened by the administration and by the police that the administration basically uses as their strong arm to bully us.
Now, if people want more information, or they want to kind of follow up on or double check what I'm and what you and I are both saying, mm-hmm. Where can they go?
So payusmoreucsc.com or at payusmoreucsc on pretty much every social media platform. There's also a place for us. A place for us was formerly known as COLA for All. So I would say those are the places to follow up.
Cool. That's all I've got, unless there's something more you want to add yourself.
I think that's all. Thank you.
And we've been talking with?
Natalie.
Thanks, Natalie. Should be on the net. Thursday evening.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't... I wasn't trying to be evasive, but